We're talking about God who. Last week we talked about His reality. This morning we're talking about His attributes. Who is God anyway? Who does He think He is? And God is always actively involved in our lives. And He never gets stuck. God is not OCD. How many are glad? You can imagine the first day when He called, you know, let there be light, and there was light. And He said, man, I like that, so I'm going to make more light. And then the third day, more light, and He never got the work done. Come on, somebody. He had six days of creation, and each day something different, and then it was complete. He finished the work in Genesis. Amen? So He's still about that. He's still about finishing those things. I want to talk to you this morning about three attributes of God. He's infinite, He's eternal, and He's unchanging. And without God, we simply would not exist. I want to talk a little bit about creation this morning and the impossibility of creation around us, especially when spring is here. Indiana, the only place you could scrape windows on Wednesday and 80 degrees on Saturday. To see all this and to think that there was no creator is living in a fantasy world. All this had a beginning and was created. But, and this is most important, the one that created it had no beginning and no end. He is not perfect because of learning. He is not holy because of trial and error. He is not all-powerful or all-knowing. He is not everywhere at once because of some learning curve. He always was, is, and will be. God is God. It is where we enter this description today. This may be the first time you're hearing what I'm about to share this morning, or the 20th, but it's a time that we deal with our reaction to who He is. God is not constrained, restrained, obtaining, or reaching. If He were given to the same or similar limitations, the universe would not exist. Time would be no more. No, God never had a beginning. He always was. And I want to show a short video, and then we'll get back to the teaching. Awesome. Our Creator did that. The God that we serve did that. Amazing. Takes my breath away when I think about it. The immense enormity of His creation. Scientists say that the universe grows 2,000 miles longer or wider every day, continues to be created. It creates itself. God, His creative word never stops. It continues to grow. Can you imagine? That's the God that we serve. He did it in 6 days. He created all of this in 6 days. The argument that it could be 6 days or 6 million years is, as far as I'm concerned, without merit. I happen to believe that He did it in 6 days. Scripture says the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So I believe that God created the earth in 6 days, solar days, 24 hours. But there are attributes that He alone has and does not share with us. This God that made this all so quickly and so immense in its enormity. How did you like that last statement? There are more DNA in a small grain of sand than there are stars in the universe. But these attributes are called incommunicable attributes and separate Him from His creation. And we do wrong when we compare God to anything that we know. He is not compared to any of His creation. In fact, He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God came for 33 years as a man, but I got news for you. He's no longer man, He's God. Human beings are finite, confined in space. Someone that lives 100 years is considered to be somewhat amazing. And yet the Bible says that it is but a vapor. Man's life is but a vapor. And when we begin to make any comparison at all, it pales in significance to what really the comparison is. This august God, this huge God, this unmeasurable God that's infinite created everything we see. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, Isaiah said. So when we get a glimpse of this huge, august God, we wonder, Where is the beginning and the end? And I can tell you there's no beginning and no end. We had a beginning, and if we're saved, if we know Christ, we have eternity awaiting us, but we had a start. He had no start. Matter of fact, even in describing Him, we describe Him in words that time represents. And so He's indescribable. We can't describe Him because anything we say, He had no beginning and no end. There is no beginning and no end and an infinite God. There's nothing to relate to. He had no beginning and had no end. So beginning and end can't even describe it. Scriptures try to, in our lame way, we try to His throne beyond the highest heavens. 1 Kings 8:27 says, "Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you." The imagery of height is inadequate to describe the God that we serve. He's far above and beyond any creation. Job 11, verse 7 through 9. Turn there with me. Job 11, verse 7. We'll wait for you. Job is sometimes hard to find. So you just flip through around where you think it is and you'll see it there. It's a job to get to Job sometime. Oh, well, I tried. Spasms notwithstanding today. Job chapter 11. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. We realize how lame that statement is, even though it's great. It's lame even trying to compare anything in our language, no matter what language it is. God is higher than the heights and deeper than the depths. There's no measurement or imagination that can fathom our God. I can't stress that enough this morning, because when we think of His infinite being that made us, say, God, who are we? What are man? You can almost hear the psalmist talk to David when he says, God, who art thou that you should even be mindful of us? What could even bring you to even pay attention to us? It would be like you and me trying to love an invisible little molecule that's on our skin that we can't even see with the naked eye. And yet that even pales in significance. This God that we serve is infinite. This God, this Creator, is infinite. He has no beginning, no end. He always was. He always will be. After you and I are gone, He'll still be here. Before we were, He was. Some think that through some sort of religious ecstasy or deep meditation, they can reach the infinite God. Some in our society believe if they hurt themselves, if they beat themselves, that they can get closer to God. Some believe that if they fast and pray enough, that they can touch the infinite God. Or they get into religious ecstasy and they dance and they throw themselves about thinking somehow that that's going to be. And nothing can touch the infinite God. We're foolish to even think. Young man headed to university, wanted to know the meaning of life, so he made it his life pursuit to do so. He wanted to find out what God was all about. What's the meaning of life, he wanted to know. So he pursued it, got his doctorate degree, traveled all over the world. Someone says, you can go to India, and up on a mountain there's a wise man, and he'll be able to tell you that answer. So he frustrated and having no other outlet, decided to go to this sage in Tibet, way up in the mountains. Took his last dollar to get there. Climbs up on this mountain, and sure enough, the wise man is standing there. And he says to the wise man, this sage, what is the meaning of life, he says. Sage looking far off into the distance in a big beard, and he said, life is like a fountain. And the young fellow said, you mean to tell me, after all my studies and searching out the wisest man in the world, that you're going to tell me life is like a fountain? And the wise man said, "You mean it isn't?" He's past finding out. Wherever there is finite, God has created it. But finite is not Him. He is infinite, and no measurement or imagination can encompass Him. So it begs the question, how do we exalt Him, or how do we reach Him? Psalm 57:5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Somehow the psalmist knew that to extremely worship and to extremely exalt, it had to be above the heavens that we could see and above all the earth that we know. And when it comes to that place, we feel so helpless and so hopeless that we know that God has got to reach out to us, that it's impossible for us to reach out to Him. Nehemiah said, "Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." As we magnify His name, He is rightfully exalted. In fact, the heavenly throne room has constant praise because of His august presence. When we look into the heavenly realm, when we read Revelation, when we see Isaiah, when we talk about Paul, Paul said it was so extremely holy that he couldn't say what he saw. That the presence of God in His holy throne room, he said, "I was caught up into the third heaven. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But what I saw was impossible for me to share. And matter of fact, I was forbidden to share what I saw." And we realize that our reaching out to Him is impossible. Nobody could reach Him. So we exalt Him. We worship Him. But even in our worship, without the benefit of Holy Spirit in us, because Holy Spirit is God, and He assists us in touching a holy God. And we find out that without God, we can't know God. In fact, in our first cry to God, I don't know how many testimonies I've heard, "God, if You're real, come and change my life." How many prayed that prayer? Something like that. Desperate. "God, if You're really real." And God says, "You better believe I'm real. I'm more real than real." And He comes to us and touches us and changes us forever. Once we're touched with the eternal, we're forever ruined for the temporal. If we're really touched by the eternal. So our stance must be one of humility before Him. His very existence demands that we worship Him. We can't do anything but worship Him. See? The Bible says that His creation praises Him. Isaiah 2:11, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." We either exalt Him now in His infinity, or when we see Him, we will. The Scripture says, "Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess." So, He's infinite, no beginning, no end. Secondly, He is eternal. Now, it certainly goes without saying that His making of the universe would signify His eternal existence. We just saw on here what a tremendous, august, huge universe that we live in. Who could have created that but God? But lest we forget, the God that has no end and no beginning is the God that did this. He's eternal. Human beings have a beginning and an end as far as our bodies go. But God has no such limitations. Number one, God is the great I Am. When He was trying to describe to Moses who saw the burning bush, and Moses said, "Who shall I say sends me?" God looks to him in Exodus 3:14 and speaks to him, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I Am has sent me to you." Can you imagine trying to explain that? "Hey, Moses, you got a veil over your face. You're white and your hair turned white. What's going on? Who's talking to you?" And he says, "I Am." "Well, we know you are, but who's talking to you?" "I Am." "Moses, you're stuck, man. Who is this that's telling you to? I Am." See, we realize that God is not past, present, or future, because again, we're trying to describe Him in our limited language. God will not be confined by words. He'll not be confined by deeds. And when we think about it in that way, How dare we start to criticize God? God, how fair, how unfair this is, or how could you let this happen, or how could you, how dare we say anything to the eternal God? God is the only reality that is without beginning, middle, or end. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is nothing that can compare with Him. Even trying to describe His eternal attributes, we have to use language that only makes sense when we speak of time. But simply, God is, not was, or will be. He is. He's not affected by our happenings. God is not stressed by our worries. Isaiah 40 verse 22 says, it is He, God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Page 789 in your Bibles. Somebody's looking for page 789. The psalmist, in describing this eternal God, he says in verse 25 of Psalm 102, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. God is good enough to give us eternity forward, but makes us realize that we had a beginning, and He doesn't. All this, and God shows His love for His creation. Can you imagine that God would even give us the time of day? That He would even give us anything? Scriptures say that He reigns on the just and the unjust. God does not exist in isolation or supreme indifference, and He has every right to. He has every right just to exist and say, I don't even know you. I don't even want to know you. I don't care about you. He has every right to say that because He's self-efficient in His own being, but yet He loves us. God, in the person of His Son, left His eternal abode to come and live among us as a man for 33 years. Can you imagine what love it must have took to leave the glories of His own being to become a human being? He came in the fullness of time so that He might redeem mankind. All that we will believe, all that is true, is God. The good news, He gave us a beginning, and if we believe in Him, we'll have no end like Him. We are finite beings with an eternal home with Him. Scripture says that His thoughts for you are beyond finding out. Think about that. Hey God, in all this universe, we saw the size of the earth. Have you ever, am I the only one that's ever meditated on your size compared to 7 billion people on the globe? Have you ever done that where you're just praying and you think, here I am with these problems and I kind of in my mind take a scale back from the whole world, 7 billion people, and here I am complaining. Am I the only one that's ever thought that? And His thoughts toward me are more than can be numbered. We'll say that's, Rick, that's impossible. How can He do that with 7 billion people on the globe, plus everybody that existed before and everybody that will exist after? How can He do that? I'll tell you how He can do that. He's God. He's eternal. And eternal, again, can't be described in time. We try to describe eternal in time, we fall way short. I've said it before, but if you take the earth the size of a steel ball, a steel ball the size of the earth, and you put an eternal little red ant on that globe that's completely steel, how long would it take the friction from that ant going around the globe to wear it down to nothing? That's a chip off eternity. It can't, and that even pales, because eternity has no time, it just is. We get there, it'll just be. It's not used to be, it not will be. We speak of forever and ever, and we do so because that's all we got is time to describe eternity, and it can't be. He's eternal. God's eternal. And He's sharing His eternal with us. Watch what it says in Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are Your wonderful works which You have done, and Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Somehow, some way, the psalmist got into the eternal and began to describe something that absolutely causes me a headache. Somehow, some way, he touched the eternal God and he said, Your thoughts toward me cannot be recounted. Just me. His thoughts about our needs, our paltry prayers. God, did You remember mortgage is due tomorrow? God, did You remember the car's getting a little bit old, needs something else? God, I forgot my anniversary again. I'm going to have to go home and see my wife and she's not going to be happy. He's eternal. God is not bound by time. He's not bound by intelligence. He's not getting smarter. He's not smart. We can't even describe His smartness. He is. He created everything. He created all this. He created our thoughts. He created the environment that we live in. Can you imagine? He's interested about the little bug on the window as much as He is the Hubble telescope. He created all this, our vision, our thoughts, our ears, our eyes, the way we way we interact with one another, our romance. He's eternal. Come on, somebody. Our jaws drop when we even think about it. God, You mean everything. It's not just there. I can't compartmentalize You. I can't say You're God eternally in all this, but in here, we're just, let us run this, God. We've got this. No. God created all things. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that He'd create an environment that has nothing new since day one. Everything that was created at the end of 6 days is still here in some form. Did you ever think about that? He didn't create any new stuff in the last 10,000 years. I hate to argue with the evolutionists, but the universe is not 6 million years old or 30 million or whatever they say. 10,000 years old. But in 10,000 years, everything that we see, it was here at day 6. No new molecules, no new creation, nothing. It's all just different forms. Man, no one can do that except the eternal God. Can you imagine the breadth and the height and the width and the depth of God? Can you imagine, if you will, if you could even think about the biggest thought that you could have on it, pales into significance into who He really is. And yet He loves us. And His thoughts are towards us. Number three in closing, God is unchanging. Now, I've said that about friends. I say that about family. You know, that's the same old person, but we always are changing. Come on, somebody. I can tell you right now, I am 20 minutes into this message, I can tell you my body is changing. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, He's talking to you. See, we may think we're always the same, but we're constantly changing. As a matter of fact, God says this, He began a good work in you and He'll complete it. So that means a moving forward and a changing. But God is unchanging. He's the same as He was when He said, let there be light. He never changes. As a matter of fact, He says, I am God, I do not change. And there's a great comfort in that. The universe is constantly going through changes. Stars by the thousands are destroyed daily. It's said that there's an estimated 5,000 meteors per day. Stars just exploding. And matter of fact, when you go out and look at the universe at night, stars were beautiful last night. How many got to see the stars last night? It's beautiful. But those stars shining, the light shining from a star, that light began from that star when Moses walked the earth. And we're just now seeing it with our eye. And that star may not even exist anymore. Just the light from it. Wow. Is anybody else going, I can't even get my, I can't even wrap my mind around that. I'm just a simple country boy from Western Pennsylvania. I can't understand that. Amen. I don't understand. And I don't understand why God, you're unchanging, but you always loved me. You chose me from before the beginnings of the world. And we're changing even when we don't know it. Someone said our skin is replaced every 27 days. We get a new layer of skin. Can you imagine? So ladies, the makeup only helps temporarily. Where does all that stuff go? Yuck. And our blood is replaced every 120 days. We've got new blood running through us. Woo! So God made all of this. And He knows that we're fluctuating, going through change. People are born, people die. But He is God, the rock that changes not. He is not evolving from one stage to another. He is not becoming God or a growing God. His being is stable and has been from time and eternity. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The writer of Hebrews says it like this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a great solace that we have, this unchanging, eternal, infinite God loves us. There's dependability and constancy in His being, acts, and purposes. When man obeys God, He blesses him. When he disobeys, God punishes. We're in a generation right now that presupposes that God is having a senior moment. The jury's out on whether God punishes the sins that we are now lifting up to a place of holiness. And we're saying we're almost daring God, who does not change. God, we dare you to bring judgment on that sin. And when it doesn't come, we think within this atmospheric thing that we live in, that it's not going to. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when everyone, Revelation says, the books are open and the dead are risen. John said he saw scores and millions of people standing before the white throne judgment. Oh, my friend, there'll be a reckoning. There'll be a reckoning. Because my God does not change. And it's behind that that causes us, something inside of us, something of the eternal that God has given us, something of the representations that we are supposed to have, that we are ambassadors of the living God. Something rises within us to have to say that He is a God that does not change. And we have to say it with conviction, because anything else is sin. Anything else, if we try to while it away, if we try to make God something He's not. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He gets addled or changes. God didn't all of a sudden have an epiphany and say, gosh, I've really messed up now. But you'd think from hearing even religious men of the day, God is unchanging. But they say God has grown to accept the 21st century human being. Oh, this is the 21st century. Excuse me. Let me get on Google and find out where I went wrong. When's the last time you Googled something and saw that you get it immediately? Even in seconds, man. You just put something in there and you get 1.3 million hits in like 3 seconds. Anybody do that? Anybody ever look? You're always looking for the research, but look up there and see how many hits you have. Man, that's amazing. Come on, somebody. Anything you want to research, just right there. Millions of hits in just seconds. God laughs at that. God laughs at that. We think we've become so smart that we can tell God what to do. How dare us? How dare our society try to pigeonhole what God said? Dare you put your finger on God's word and say that that's no longer holds true? How dare you say that about the living God? I want to warn you, when you say that about the living God, know what you're saying, because you're going to have to answer for it one day. Not with me. You can say what you want with me. I mean, I can't do much about what you think, but I'll tell you who I serve that will. See, when man disobeys God, there's a punishment. We would do well to consider this fact when it comes to accusing the Creator for His unfairness or His vindictiveness. We would do well to hold our tongue when we criticize, even in our personal life. We would do well to hold our tongue and say, God, aren't you aware of what I'm going through? God, don't you care? Don't ever say that to the Creator that loves you, that sent His own Son to die on a cross for you when He didn't have to. Because He's infinite, because He's eternal, and He does not change. Before time began, God had it in His heart to do what He did. We would do well, and I warn you, I'm warning you this morning, to change your language toward the Father. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, but asking knowing that His answer is final. His answer to us is final. He doesn't change His mind and say, get back with me. Maybe if you cry enough or complain enough, or if enough people do it, the tipping point, everybody's doing it, so I'll change my mind. If no one does it, God's law is still the law. He's unchanging. His every action is perfect. He has never changed His ways, and He never will. His changelessness is not hard or impersonal. He's not hard and cold, but He relates to people. He has experienced all that man goes through, yet still loves us, forgives us, and cleanses us. God doesn't change, but He cares about those that are changing. God loves us. This august God, this infinite God, this eternal God, this unchanging God that we serve, loves me. He's concerned about me. We just heard His thoughts are more than can be numbered. So He loves us. He's got a plan for our lives. This, who is God anyway? Who does He think He is? Let me tell you what, He knows who He is. Question is today, who do you think He is? Who do you think He is? This limitless, powerful, changeless, infinite, eternal being that allows us to breathe His air. It gives us mercy and grace. Come on, somebody. He's nothing like us. Man, when I learn something and I get something down and somebody doesn't do it the right way, I feel like I need to criticize them. Can you imagine God just saying, nope, that's the wrong way. You're gone. Rick Smell never existed. He's gone. Let me try again. But this august, eternal, infinite God, we're going to talk about His character next week. We're going to talk about this character that he allows us to see and that He shares with us. But you know, God in his eternity is forever gracious and merciful. Am I the only one that's ever made the same mistake over and over again and you just go, God, I can't believe I did this again. Will you forgive me? God, if I were you, I'd wipe me off the map. It's okay, you can do that because you're God. But God says, no, I have mercy and grace for you. I knew you were going to be obstinate and stubborn and stupid and make a fool of yourself. But I love you anyway. I care for you. I called you by name. Think about that. This God that we've been talking about all morning. Think about this as I close. Think about your name on His lips. He loves you. God loves you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for your next thought. He cares who you are with, what you're doing, where you're headed. He cares for you. Matter of fact, the Scripture says, now watch. Watch what the Scripture says with me. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we can take great comfort into we may not know what's going on right in front of us, but God's already been there. Come on, somebody. God, can you believe that I got myself in this situation? Heavenly Father, can you believe? Look what I'm facing. Are you there, God? Can you hear me? Are you concerned with what I'm about, what I'm doing? And God says, I've been there. I've already been there, and I've created the steps for you to get through this. When you walk through the waters, I'll be there. When you pass through the flames, I'll be there. There is no height, no depth, no width, no breadth that I cannot traverse. I'm God. I created you the way you are. And I knew it. And I've made provision for it. Oh, what great comfort. And great peace that we have. Father, thank you today for the consistency that we see in you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful. Now would be a good time as we're bowed and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now would be a good time for you to get whatever you need to get right with God shifted to the right column. Asking forgiveness for where we've fallen short and where we've demanded things from God that just aren't right. Now would be the time to adjust your thinking and remember who it is that we serve. Heavenly Father, we're so, Lord, so taken back by your existence and by your love and by your concern. Lord, how is it that you could even think about us? We're forever grateful. You did not wait for us to cry out to you, God. You drew us by your Spirit. Lord, we stand and have our being in you. Father, I pray for those that are yet to know you. I pray for those that have wandered away from you. Would you bring them back, God, as a mother hen grabs her chicks? God, pull them back, oh Father. We pray for those that were invited today that couldn't be here for one reason or another. God, we pray that you would reach them as well. You have in your eye their hearts, oh God. You desire, God, that no man should perish. So, Father, Lord, go before us. Make every pathway straight according to your loving kindness and mercy. Lord, thank you for the thoughts that you have for us today. Our thoughts are on you. We glorify and we exalt your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.